Thank you very much, Matt. Now, we have been involved with this congregation for 3 months, which is a quarter of a year, so it's kind of surprising that time has gone so quickly. But if you haven't noticed yet, I tend to not take things too seriously. I think it's important for us to not take ourselves too seriously, because while we were created perfect in the image of God, humans have fallen, and we are far from perfect, and we make mistakes. And sometimes these mistakes can be somewhat humorous. And this is not only true for individuals, but it's also true for the church body. Because the church is made up of imperfect people trying to do God's perfect will. As a sign of our imperfection, I thought it would be interesting to start this morning by reading a few lines that were actually printed in church bulletins. Not in our church bulletin, Ron. Ron doesn't make any mistakes, right? But these are actual lines that were printed in church bulletins that maybe weren't double-checked as closely as they should have been. I'll read these and you'll see what I'm talking about. From a bulletin, Bertha Belch, a missionary from Africa, will be speaking tonight at Calvary Memorial Church in Racine. Come tonight and hear Bertha Belch all the way from Africa. This is an announcement from a church bulletin in the National Prayer and Fasting Conference. The cost for attending the Fasting and Prayer Conference includes meals. Miss Charlene Mason saying, "I will not pass this way again," giving obvious pleasure to the congregation. Ladies, don't forget the rubbish sale. It's a chance to get rid of those things not worth keeping around the house. Don't forget your husbands. I thought of Connie when I read this one. The peacemaking meeting scheduled for today has been canceled due to a conflict. Next Thursday will be tryouts for the choir. They need all the help they can get. The rector will preach his farewell message, after which the choir will sing, Break Forth into Joy. Irving Benson and Jesse Carter were married on October 24th in the church. So ends the friendship that began in their school days. 8 new choir robes are currently needed due to the addition of several new members and the deterioration of some older ones. For those of you who have children and don't know it, we have a nursery downstairs. Please place your donations in the envelope along with the deceased person you want remembered. Potluck supper Sunday at 5 p.m. Prayer and medication to follow. Low self-esteem support group will meet Thursday at 7 p.m. Please use the back door. And one of my favorites I saved for last. Barbara remains in the hospital and needs blood donors for more transfusion. She's also having trouble sleeping and requests tapes of Pastor Nelson's sermon. Those were all in bulletins. So while we should not take ourselves too seriously, I do believe that we as Christians are called to take our faith seriously. And an important part of taking our faith seriously is studying, learning, and living by the Bible. But why do we trust the Bible? Why do we have such faith in this book? Why do we give it so much credibility? Why do we believe that God had a hand in the writing of this book? Now, these are all very serious questions that are very hard to answer that we may not have given any serious thought to before. But for years, we as Christians have formed our thoughts about Jesus Christ, our doctrine and theology and ethics based on this one book. So we as Christians must have some reason for believing the Bible. But just what is it? And this is one of the questions that I'm seeking to answer this morning as we ask, why is the Bible considered to be such a source of authority for Christians? So if you wish to please turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 through chapter 4, verse 5. And I'll be reading from the New Revised Standard Version. 2 Timothy chapter 3, beginning at verse 14. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it, and how from childhood you have known the sacred writing and are able to instruct you, that we are able to instruct you for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. All Scripture is inspired by God and is useful for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, so that everyone who belongs to God may be proficient, equipped for every good work. In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I solemnly urge you, proclaim the message, be persistent, whether the time is favorable or unfavorable. Convince, rebuke, and encourage with the utmost patience in teaching. For the time is coming when people will not put up with the sound doctrine, but having itchy ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own desires, and will turn away from the listening to the truth and wander away to myths. As for you, always be sober, endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist, carry out your ministry fully. So the question of scriptural authority is something that Paul is addressing almost 2,000 years ago in this book, in this letter that he sends to Timothy. And the term scriptural authority means that the scriptures, or the Bible, are to be the authority for which we build our lives upon. The Bible is to be a strong foundation for us to build our beliefs. The Bible is a source which we can build our theology upon and to better understand God. So Paul begins this section in verse 14 by instructing Timothy to continue in what he has learned from his childhood. Now Paul has already commended Timothy's mother and grandmother for the upbringing that they have provided for Timothy. And Paul has said that they have raised him very well in his knowledge of the Scriptures. So again, he is saying to Timothy that he should hold tight these things that he has learned since his childhood, because he has learned them from a good source, an authoritative source, someone who he can trust in. It just wasn't that they taught Timothy. In verse 15, we learn that they taught him that the sacred writings are able to instruct you for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. And then continuing on in 16, he tells Timothy that all Scripture is inspired by God and is useful for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. Now I believe that it's important for me to note at this point in time that what Timothy and Paul understood as the Scriptures is not what we understand as the Scriptures today. We think of the Scriptures as being the Bible, the Holy Bible. But if you think about it, they did not have what we call the Bible today. This book had not been written yet. What they had was what is called the Tanakh, or the Jewish Bible, which we would call the Old Testament. So when Paul refers to the Scriptures as being authoritative, he's referring to what we call the Old Testament. But that does not mean that what Paul says here about the Scriptures does not apply to our New Testament today. Actually, Paul begins to make a bridge between the Old and the New Testament when he says that these sacred writings are to instruct us for salvation through Christ Jesus. So while Paul is not addressing the New Testament directly in these verses, I believe that these verses can be applicable towards the authority of our New Testament as well as the Old Testament for a couple of reasons. For instance, we know that God spoke through Paul. Paul is the one who wrote 2 Timothy. And if we look in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, 12 through 13, Paul says this, beginning at 12. What I mean is that each of you says, I belong to Paul. Is that correct? 1 Corinthians 1, 12. I might have had that written down wrong. I have it written here as well, though. 1 Corinthians 1, 12 through 13. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit that is from God, that we may understand the gifts bestowed upon us by God. And we speak of these things in words, not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual things to those who are spiritual. So Paul's use of the word we indicates that Paul was able to speak using these words, not by human means, but through the Spirit. He is not speaking his own words, but he is using the words that God has given to him through the Spirit. If we read on in 1 Corinthians, such as in chapter 7, verse 12, we can find times when Paul says directly that a certain phrase was not given to him from God, but that this particular phrase was from his own self. So Paul recognizes when a word is from the Lord, and he recognizes when it is not from the Lord, and he tells us specifically when he is speaking on his own. So Paul writes again in verse 16, in 2 Timothy, all Scripture is inspired by God and is useful for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. Let's see if you can prove it to me. Paul says right here, Scripture is inspired by God. So doesn't that mean Scripture is inspired by God? Doesn't that sound very straightforward? Shouldn't we just believe that, take it at face value, and believe that the book, the Bible, is inspired by God? Couldn't we just end it here and go home early, call it a day? But the Bible might say that it's inspired by God, and if we believe in the Bible, we can understand that to be true. But what about those who don't believe that the Bible is inspired by God? Are they going to read this section and have it change their minds if they are already convinced that the Bible is not from God? The problem that we have is that not everyone believes that the Bible is God's inspired writing. For someone who does not believe that the Bible is God-inspired, reading a passage from the Bible that says the Bible is inspired by God is not going to convince them of anything. Joe Jones, a systematic theologian, has said that there is no non-circular way in which we can prove that the Bible is inspired by God. In other words, there is no way in which we can prove the inspiration of the Bible without drawing from the Bible. Now, if a Muslim was to come up to you and say, do you know that the Quran says that Jesus Christ is not the Messiah? Or what if the same Muslim told you, do you know that the Quran says that it is the inspired Word of God, which it does say? Would you believe that person just because they said that? Or would you believe them just because they said that their holy book said that that is inspired by God? So can you see why it doesn't always work to tell someone that the Bible is inspired of God just because it's written within the Bible? When we define a word, we are told not to use that word in its definition. So if someone was to ask you, what is a dog? And you were to answer them, well, it's a dog. That's not going to be very helpful. If that person does not know what a dog is, to tell them that a dog is a dog is very circular, and you get nowhere with that definition. They still will not understand what a dog is. And the same thing is true with the Bible. If you don't know that the Bible is true, using the Bible to say that it is true won't help in any way. Now, when we were growing up, I have two brothers. I'm in the middle of three boys. When we were growing up, I think that we were very respectful of our parents. We always wanted to please our parents by doing the things that they asked of us. Anytime that they would ask us to do something, do our chores, pick up our rooms, we were always willing to do that. Up until about the age of 13. So when we became teenagers, we began to push our limits with our parents. When they said, clean your room or take out the trash, we would ask, why? And of course they responded with the traditional answer, because I said so. That's why. And for some reason, as teenage boys, that answer was good enough for us. Because I said so seemed to work. and we would do what they asked of us. Well, that answer would not work outside of our house. What if my parents were to go up to a complete stranger and say, go wash my car? And that person was to say, why? Why should I wash your car? And my parents said, because I said so. Do you think that would work for that person? Do you think they would understand why they should be washing my parents' car? The same answer that works in our home is not going to work outside in the public arena. So why did that answer work in our home, but not in the public? Because of the authority that my parents have in our home. We are living in their house, eating their food, wearing clothes that they bought us. They are the ones who gave us life, and they are the reason alone, and for that reason alone, they are put in a role of authority in our lives, and anything that they say should matter to us. But that same authority is not apparent to a complete stranger. They don't give my parents authority just because they have children, or because they feed and clothe their children. So to them, because I said so, it's really just a silly reason. And the end result is, they don't get their car washed. Now we as Christians believe that God is the almighty provider of all things. God created the world and everything in it. God created us, formed us, and knew us before we were ever born. Therefore, we believe that when God says something, we should listen. So when God tells us that Scripture is inspired, we should listen to what God has said. When God says, because I said so, that is a good enough reason for us as Christians. Because God has a lot of authority in our lives. But those who do not believe in the same God that we believe in will not give God the same authority that we do. And this is one reason why we have so much difficulty at times sharing our faith with other people. I see Ron nodding over here. If you were to go up to a Mormon and say, the Bible says, all who call upon the Lord will be saved. They might say, but the Book of Mormon says this. How do we counteract that? We believe this, but then they also believe this. How do we begin to explain why our belief is more reliable than theirs? But even though we cannot make a case to prove the inspiration of the Bible without using the Bible itself, we as Christians need to know and say unapologetically that God has and continues to speak to humanity. God speaks to us every day, whether we are listening or not. And if someone does not believe that the Bible is an inspired word of God, how can we help them hear a word from God? God speaks through us through many different ways. God speaks to us through nature. When we go hiking in the wide open outdoors, or camping, or just a drive through the country, and we witness all the beauty that creation supplies for us, do we not see God? When we hear of the complexities of the human body, with all the systems and the functions that take place at the cellular and molecular level, do we not see God in that? God also works through us through our experiences. When we are going through a tough period in our life, and we are receiving comfort from those around us and from an unknown source, do we not feel God in our lives? When we are driving down the road and we nearly miss being in a very serious accident and our heart begins to flutter within our chest, do we not feel God's presence at that time and know that God is there with us? And we can also try to make the Bible seem logical. We can explain to people how archaeological findings have proven the existence of certain biblical cities and biblical characters. We can explain how the biblical story as a narrative, from start to finish, beginning with Adam and Eve and the fall in the garden, all the way through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, We can explain to them this narrative and how it makes sense that God would send His only Son to this earth to die for our sins. We can tell them all this information and the supplements available to them in the Bible. We can explain all these things to them, but if we cannot make them believe. Only God can allow someone to believe. Now the problem with the first two ways of experiencing God is that they are quite subjective. If someone who was an atheist was to walk through the same outdoors experiences we experience, they would probably look at it totally different. They may look at the human body and experience that as years of evolution. Or they may experience this near car accident and think, I was just very lucky to have missed that. So it's very subjective. So these ways are ways that we can affirm the Bible and affirm God in our life, but they are not ways that we can prove to other people that God is real and that God speaks to us through Scripture. We need the Bible. And we need it not only for authority on what is right and what is wrong, but we need it as a foundation for which we can build our beliefs upon. And the only way we can come to know the Bible as authority on God is through faith. Now, there are a lot of obstacles to bringing someone to believe in the Bible. I think that's very safe to say in our world today. Because people don't just naturally believe what you want to tell them in this world. People tend to be skeptical. But did you know that a 2005 Rasmussen poll showed that 63% of Americans believe that the Bible is true? Now, I don't mean to be over-skeptical, but that number seems a little high to me. And even if 63% of people do believe in the Bible, I would ask, how many of those people are actually living it out? Because there is a major difference between believing the Bible and living the Bible. You know, the Bible says that even the demons believe in God. But it's so much different to live out a belief in God. I can say I believe in God, but to not live it out makes such a difference in my life. What good is it to believe if we don't live out our belief? When we live out the Bible, this will be the greatest witness to our belief, to those outside. The truth that is in the Bible and the truth that is in us will come forth when we live out our beliefs. It isn't easy to convince somebody that the Bible is true in our society. I think that's very safe to say. But actions do speak louder than words. Let us be a witness to the authority of the Bible through our actions. Not because we worship the Bible, but because we worship the one who gave it to us. Praise God and thank the Lord because God does speak to us today. But many people are just afraid to listen. So as we leave this place today, I just want to remind you that we have been given a gift in this book. This book can teach us how to live in a way that is pleasing unto God. And while many other people may not accept that to be true, that does not make it any less true for those of us here today. Just because somebody else doesn't believe the Bible does not mean that we are not held, that it is not an obligation for us to follow through on our beliefs. So I ask you today, if you believe the Bible to be true, to live it out, to practice what you read, will you please join me in a word of prayer? Gracious and loving God, I thank you so much for giving us your word. Thank you for inspiring those who have written this book. And Lord, we don't know how to interpret everything that's written within the pages of this book. But I ask you, Lord, to show us your will, to reveal to us what this book has to say. Guide us, Lord, in your ways. Teach us. Show us, Lord, what your will is for our lives. We pray these things in Christ's holy name. Amen.